a disadvantage of ibrutinib is it does have certain toxicities that need to be addressed: rash, arthralgia, bleeding, bruising, atrial fibrillation, and infection. Those are some of the ones that we think about. Venetoclax, it's a little bit of a different conversation. It's a time-limited therapy, but of course, as a first therapy, it's not a monotherapy. It's given with an infusion, obinutuzumab, so you have to commit to that 6 months' worth of infusion. You know, the ramp-up can be cumbersome at times, depending on your TLS risk, and so you might be in the office a fair amount for the first 5 weeks of therapy or even hospitalized. The AE profile is different, but it's not insignificant. There is a risk of TLS, which is very low if you follow the rules, but also hematologic toxicity, some minor GI toxicity. Probably one of the biggest limiting factors at this point is we don't really know which therapies work best after venetoclax. It's not to say ibrutinib wouldn't work. It's just that I couldn't cite a study that gives us prospective data to support that. There's, you know, like a case series from Australia with six or seven patients. There's a few from the US that we reported, but really not a lot of robust prospective data to support that sequencing strategy. So it's one of these situations where for patients and oncologists, we want to have this level one evidence to help choose one therapy versus another. And the truth of the matter is that they're both great therapies, and we just have to live with the limitations of the clinical trials.
So if a patient says to you, just from a quality of life point of view, I understand, you know, the issues about efficacy might be a little complicated, but in terms of how a patient's going to feel, how would you compare sort of life on ibrutinib to life on venetoclax?
I've had to discontinue both drugs due to adverse event, but when they work well, and I would say, you know, the answer to most patients is in the vast majority of cases, either ibrutinib or venetoclax, they have a great quality of life, certainly relative to chemotherapy days, that we try to take it a case-by-case basis. If I have a patient who has really significant, poorly controlled hypertension, atrial fibrillation, they're on blood thinners, you know, that may not be the best patient for me to start ibrutinib. If I have a patient, you know, I have a patient who I mentioned earlier to you has von Willebrand's disease, has a bleeding diathesis already, probably not going to start ibrutinib. If I have a patient who's already starting off with significant neutropenia related to their CLL, then I may not think venetoclax is the best therapy for that patient, particularly short term from a risk of infection. So I think the answer is not one over the other, but really knowing your patient, knowing the drugs, and also knowing yourself. If you have much more experience using ibrutinib and managing their AEs, it's probably the better drug. The same is also true for venetoclax. If your office is not well equipped to do a ramp up, then it's probably not the best choice for a patient. So you have to really consider all three of those factors.